Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special meeting of the Kensington Fire Protection District Board of Directors. It is March 18th, 2024 at 6:03 p.m. I will now call the meeting to order. Director Madugo.
Here.
Director Stein.
Here.
Director Watt.
Here.
And I'm Director Levine, also here. We are in meeting room number 3. The acoustics can be a bit tricky in here, so we ask everyone in the room, if you shouldn't be speaking, as in you are not currently addressing the board, please try to keep sounds to a minimum because it does echo and it does tinker with the recording. So we move now to public comment. So this is an opportunity for members of the public to address items on the special meeting agenda. Comments must be restricted to items that are occurring on the special meeting agenda. Are there any public comments at this time? I see several raised hands on the Zoom. Let's start with the Zoom. And since I signed off Zoom, I can't see. Okay, we've unmuted Rob.
Okay. Sounds like you. Do you hear me all right?
Yes.
Is that too much loud?
That's right.
Okay. I assume that this is the opportunity for members of the public to comment on the candidates who are currently be considered for appointment as a director. Is that correct, or do we do that later in the meeting?
You can do that now, or we can do it later in the meeting because it's on the agenda. We'll just do that when there's a motion on the table I guess we should do it before there's a motion on the table.
Well, often if there's a motion, then you do director comment, and
right,
you take public comment before you vote.
I guess that's true. Yes.
It's after the questioning candidates make a closing statement, the members of the public be offered the opportunity to comment.
All right. So, Rob, if you would like to make a comment, an endorsement, I suppose, of one of the candidates, we can do that at that time.
Yeah, because it's only one comment per item.
Yeah.
So if they go now, they can't go later.
Yeah, exactly. So if you'd like to make a comment then, that might
That's work fine. I will wait and you can let us know when that's appropriate.
Great. Thank you, Rob. Next, I see there's other hand raised. Oh, nope, not anymore. Rob, can you please lower your hand? Rob, thank you. There's another attendee remote, Katya D. Please go for it.
I just wanted to ask if there's any way to see more of the room. We can only see 3.5 people, really 3 people. Yeah, now we see more people. That's better. And if the camera were back a little bit, we could probably see everybody if the camera was moved back.
Oh,
now I just see this. Now it's just the ceiling. It's just the ceiling, yeah. Oh, well.
If I take this off. It doesn't seem like it's... Oh, I see. Well.
Isn't there like a little switch to freeze it?
Is there?
I thought there was.
That would be very useful.
Sorry for the... I don't see a switch for freezing.
We go through this every time we're in this room. So don't worry about it.
Sometimes it magically fixes itself.
That's actually best right there. We get almost everybody except Jim.
Actually,
we can see everybody but Jim.
Well, I'll stand here holding it for now. Please, if you have another comment.
But we're not responsible for Zoom malfunctions, remember?
That's true.
This is,
But you have...
Oh,
sorry. I have another post.
Yes,
where they call me MacGyver or something. All right, there's no other public comment on Zoom. Public comment in the room. Seeing none, let's move on to our first and only item, board vacancy interviews of candidates and appointment of new board member. Tim, would you like to introduce this?
Yes. The board has a vacancy that it'd like to fill through the selection process. Process was advertised. We had two applications. People are here tonight. And tonight we have a process and procedure that the board will go through to make a selection to fill the vacancy. We have drawn the order for candidates already, who's to answer first and who answers second. And we've drawn an order of which directors in what order will ask their question of the two candidates. And then rotate around. After board members have asked those questions, candidates may make a closing statement in the order established by the panel drawing. Yeah. Members of the public will then be offered the opportunity to provide a comment. The board then will have the opportunity to discuss and deliberate over candidates. Following discussion, each board member will submit their nomination to me. By way of paper ballots that I have here. And I'll read out what the result of the balloting is, which will give direction to what group does next. And then the board would have an opportunity to motion that the candidate receive the most nominations to be appointed to the board vacancy, followed by a second and voting. If the motion doesn't receive a first or a second, the nominations will continue until it is supported by a majority of the board. In case there is a tie, the board will discuss how we do a second ballot. And if no candidate receives more nominations than any other candidate, after board discussion and a second ballot, any board member may move to appoint one of the candidates to the vacancy, which would then require a second and a majority vote. That includes the process. Note to self, bring duct tape to this meeting. Thank you.
Right. What was our drawing for which candidate is doing their opening statement first?
Rick is the king first, and Thomas is second.
Correct.
And the order of the directors.
Levine, it was questions and then
questions
first. Is that correct?
Isn't that
introduction? It's an opening statement and then question.
Oh, I thought it was just closing in the online material.
Ah.
You can skip an introduction if you don't want to make.
No, I'm happy to introduce myself. I'm Rick Artis. I live at the top of Arlmont, up here above the school on the back trail. I've been a Kensington resident for 28 years. I've written a lot in my statement, some of my involvement in Kensington affairs and groups. Because I'm on the ridgeline and because I'm faced with the canyon, especially during fire wind season, I'm pretty acutely aware of what can come out of the canyon and hit Upper Kensington along the ridgeline. That's been a concern of my wife and mine for a long time. I've spent a fair amount of time out on the back trail. I've stolen some of Sierra's chips from the south side and brought them over to the north side of the trail in the interest of keeping it from washing out, and I've had to do a lot of maintenance post moving in that area, because when we moved in, the trail actually had to be relocated. It ran into my backyard and we had to fence in for the dogs, but we did a lot of work in the area to make sure that that was a sustainable places to walk and hike and have continued to maintain ever since. As I noted in my statement, I'm also very interested in the governance aspect of what the fire board is going through right now. And there may be questions about that, but I believe I wrote it out in the statement to provide ample background.
Tom?
My name is Tom Cunnick. I've lived in Kensington since 2006. I'm a general contractor. I work in residential remodeling. And I am also, like Rick, very much aware of the threat of wildfire in Kensington for a very, very long time. And like Rick, also, I've worked on the school trail, which is one of the main concerns of mine in terms of a huge amount of dead vegetation below the school trail that's in Tilden Park, which we're not allowed to mess with because the park owns it, so to speak. And even though they know that that dead brush is a threat to us, a direct threat, they've done nothing, literally nothing about it for years. And we've told them about it for years. And so that's one of my main concerns. I mean, I don't want to see people dying and losing their homes in the event of a large wildfire. And it's going to happen one of these days. I think we all know that. And we need to get the park to do something about it this year. Not next year, not 10 years from now, but this year. That's my main goal in joining the board. And I've been instrumental in getting the first camera in the park to observe wildfires, observe smoke, which citizens all around the upper region, upper Kensington, monitor during the super red flag days, the Diablo wind days, so that they can detect fire early. The fire department didn't do it. You know, Tilden Park isn't doing it. I contacted a group in Reno, Nevada, University of Nevada at Reno. They brought the camera here to us. They met with us. They met with our fire group. We got a camera in the park. It's astonishing to me that our fire department is doing nothing about this kind of stuff. It's astonishing. And I've met with the battalion chief just recently about vegetation control in Kensington itself, and they have no program. They're not doing anything about it. And it's really, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. And I said to the chief, you guys are supposed to be proactive on this. You're supposed to be ahead of the game, not us. We're telling you what we're lacking. And he apologized for being behind the eight ball. But that's it. There's no plan to get ahead of the eight ball. So that's my concern in Kensington. We need to get really serious. And as a board and with the fire department, we need to meet with people in Tilden Park. And I understand that our new general manager, Tim, has connections with upper echelon people in the park. That's what we need to do. We need to meet with upper echelon people, not the lower subordinates that you get on the telephone who tell you they're doing a great job. We need to meet with these folks as a fire board, as a fire department, and say, look, it's time to get real here. We really need to reduce vegetation on that slope and in other parts of the park as well, of course, but I think the slope is the major threat to us in the event of a fire because it's all dead brush. I mean, you could toss a match in there right now and set it on fire. So that's my concern. I'm concerned about the other issues as well, but really my main focus is wildfire.
Okay. So we proceed to questions. Danielle.
Yes. Well, I had a question, and I think I'm going to ask a different one. And I get to ask a different one for each candidate, right?
No, it's the same question for both.
Okay. All right. I think you both are very acutely aware of our fire issue on a wildlife urban interface. I know I care about it too, and it seems like. In fact, one of the questions I got when during my interview was, what are we going to do about it? And it seems like the board, it doesn't have a plan to actually pursue something like that. How would you interact with the board and what avenues would you pursue to actually start making progress on that front? And
I guess
I think
each time.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. there are two parts of this from where I sit. One is within the fire board and one is connected to the police board, because a proper emergency response actually requires both departments. And so figuring out what the focus of our emergency planning should be, and then how do we get the community and essentially both the fire and the police on board with what has to happen next in the context of emergency planning, is something I very much want to focus on. How do we make an effective decision? As part of KPOA, we tried to have a discussion about evacuation planning that was focused on the north side. It was actually kind of a frustrating discussion, because you couldn't make a plan because you couldn't set the terms, because the two agencies were had turf that was different. Police had to be responsible for one piece and fire had to be responsible for another piece. And so to me, it's hard to have a plan without getting the overall response from both districts involved. The focus of my concern about wildfire mitigation is actually on the area around the school, and the fact that in the event of an evacuation, actually a lot of people may be heading towards the school rather than away from the school. High fire load season is actually in fall school term. And so for me, this probably requires bringing the school itself in, but that's a thing both from the mitigation of risk in the canyon right behind the school, which is in kind of a wind tunnel at the low point of the district, or at the low point of the ridgeline, and then figuring out how we develop an effective emergency plan requires building some bridges. And so in the short term, that's kind of where I would start. I'm a little bit ignorant in that I don't know what I don't know. I know you've been involved in the emergency preparedness group just from reading, but it seemed like that group also runs up against this problem at times. And so that's just my observation. That's where I would like to start, is pick that particular issue and that focus.
Right. Would you be able to repeat your question? I'm
sorry. It was, how would they approach the board towards actually doing something about the fire hazard along the wildlife urban
fire? That's what I thought you said. No problem.
So are you saying, when you say how would they approach the board, you're talking about this board or?
Yeah, because when I was a candidate, I didn't quite see, aside from implementing policies to help get our community better, didn't quite see how the board could actually either sit, maybe create law or code for Kensington, stuff like that. And I just wanted to know if that was
right.
If you knew any more about it, because I know there are lots of ideas that come forward.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the board has clout, because the board is the fire board for the town. We have clout over the fire department and with the fire department and with the police department, because we represent, or the members of the board represent Kensington. They represent the citizenry of Kensington. So with regards to the fire department, I think we need to make it clear that we need them to step up their game, become a lot more proactive in terms of emergency response. We have to have some clearly defined roads out of here that people are gonna man. Police will man, fire employees will man, certain citizens will man and direct traffic through there and direct fire engines up to the ridgeline in the event of a fire that they can do something about, you know. But in terms of dealing with Tilden Park, we need to meet with them as a board, potentially with Tim's help as a liaison to get us to the people that we need to talk to. And we'll have a fire chief on with us, and we'll sit down either in an office with a map or on the trail and show them, here's where you need to be cutting brush and getting rid of this brush. And you need to do it this year. And we demand that you do it this year. You haven't done it last year, the year before, all the other years. You just let it run wild. And that's no longer acceptable. We simply have to be aggressive with these people and say, we don't accept you doing nothing. And you guys have done nothing. And we don't want to lose our houses and lose, you know, 100, 200 people in a wildfire that's going to ravage our town. We've seen it all over California, all over the West, entire towns just leveled. And they know that, but they're not doing anything about it. And if we don't do anything about it, it will stay that way forever.
Great deal of passion. So yes, I'm question two, and I will start now directing my question to Tom. Mm-hmm. So my question is, how do you approach sort of what do you consider to be the most important skills for a board member in terms of working effectively with a board?
In terms of what?
Working effectively with a board, our board.
Well, being a team player, you know, obviously we have to be on the same page about how to approach this. And my approach might be a little too aggressive for some people. I don't know. I don't want to be, I don't want to assume that I know anything that everybody else here doesn't know. You know, I want to be, if I'm going to be on the board, I'm going to be a team player, but I'm going to be focused on getting something done. It's really important to me to get stuff done. Like in my business, I have to get stuff done. If I don't, I don't get paid, you know? And I don't think a lot of the people in the park, you know, they have bureaucratic positions, they get paid very well, but they have no skin in the game. They don't live in Kensington. The fire department, the police, they don't live here. They don't really have the same level of attention to the danger that we have. And it's, you know, not entirely their fault. I mean, why would you wake up in the middle of the night during a Diablo wind event if you live someplace where you don't have wildfire threats? You wouldn't. But here, you know, I mean, I'm super alert when there's a Diablo event in the middle of October and everything's bone dry. And probably we all are. We have skin in the game. We have stuff to lose. We have our lives to lose. So we have to impress upon them as a board, and hopefully we're all on the same page about that, that we want to see something done. They've gotten grants from the state of California, I think $13 million grant to reduce the fuel load in the parks, the East Bay parks. That's a considerable amount of money. But if you drive through Tilden Park, you can clearly see nothing has been done for decades. It's a classic textbook example of how not to manage a forest. So I think we as a board have to unite with the fire department and say, let's get something done this year and make that our focus. And maybe we'll do one thing. We'll get that slope below the school trail from the school all the way to Grizzly Peak, where Grizzly Peak terminates. We'll get that cleared out. That's not impossible. And we could even do that as a volunteer force if the park would agree to it, you know, and stop stonewalling us. It's a start. That's where I would like to start.
Rick, same question.
Same question?
Yes.
I found that a lot of people fail to find common ground because they don't center on the values that they have in common. So they don't actually listen to what other people are saying. And they end up debating points back and forth that aren't really the topic. So that's, my wife is a mediator. She solves disputes by getting people to agree. I'm a scientist. I try and uncover a path to solving tough problems with data. I've learned a little bit from my wife that you can do both of those things. You can establish the facts on the ground and then try and build a bridge based on common values. And sometimes that's about a thing. And in so doing, we make disparate groups able to come together about that thing. Now, in a board, it's really about individuals coming together to learn about each other and how they're going to make decisions together. And some of that is really values-based. Everybody has a different, each of you have a different reason for being on this board. And so finding common ground in that regard is really important to me, because otherwise it ends up just being a waste and arguments by proxy, not focused on the values that we have in common. I think in this moment, I happen to agree with you that actually there is kind of a number one thing, the risk coming out of the canyon. It's easy to focus on, you know, problems with neighbors, but our biggest neighbor is over there, and that's a place that we have to address by working with them. I guess I would say we have no pull with East Bay Regional Parks that we can't get to by understanding what their interests are and building a bridge there as well. So we might differ a little in style, not in name, but I think what works in board and what works talking to an agency is really, and it's not like this is new. There are people in the community who've been trying to do this for a long time. But what's important is that understand that some bridge building, bridges can collapse, right? Our job is to build them and make them sturdy enough to actually get something important across.
Three is Director Stein.
Mm-hmm. So do I go first to Rick?
Yes.
What do you know, if anything, about how other towns or our neighbors in the Bay Area who have similar fire hazard conditions that we have, what do you know about how they might be handling vegetation management with their neighbors and actually trying to tackle this problem? And if there's anything that we can learn from any nearby neighbors?
Actually, I probably have a lot to learn in that regard, to be honest. I know a little bit about some of what's happened over in Orinda, just courtesy of folks over there, but I think Kensington is a little bit unique in how it's tackled its own unincorporated, you know, wildlife-urban interface. So I probably have a lot to learn there, actually. My personal view is because we don't have the cash as much cash as a lot of jurisdictions, and there is a lot of money in Measure X and other areas. Other towns have been maybe a little bit more aggressive in grant writing. It seems that that's a place where we could profitably put time. But even then, I actually couldn't give you a list of cases where we've even applied. So I'll just say I have some things to learn. Sierra's been more to work with the park than any other single individual in the place. And to me, that's one of the biggest things that's undone still. Is there's a lot of ground, you know, the old trail that used to go from the school down to the park right behind the school is the least traveled, most horrifically fire dense place going. And I don't exactly know how other cities have worked with the park in this kind of situation to tackle this kind of terrain.
Well, I know that Berkeley last year, and I'm sure a lot of you know this as well, initiated a program where they went door to door in the Berkeley Hills. And these were young people from the fire department. I don't know if they were actual firefighters or they were hired specifically for this task, but I happened to be doing a job in Berkeley at the time. And I saw these young people that came to the door and they inspected every property in the Berkeley Hills. And they said, you know, you have a really dangerous situation here to certain people. And they provided a wood chipper to reduce the vegetation. They provided help for people to do it, you know, because it's often a daunting task when somebody has let their property just run wild. They don't know where to begin. And Berkeley actually helped them to reduce the vegetation on their property. And I was actually told by a member of our fire department that they were going to initiate such a program this year, but that isn't true. they had no intention of doing that. We could do something like that here and reduce people's vegetation and just let them know. I mean, the fire department does send out these suggestions about how to reduce vegetation on your property and what's safe and what isn't safe. But most people don't really pay attention to it. And so I think the fire department could be much more proactive in that regard. Orinda has also been very aggressively addressing their vegetation problem. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, Orinda, their fire department, cited Tilden Park for being negligent in their own response to vegetation. And Tilden told them, yeah, well, thank you, but we're not interested. I mean, this is the level of almost scandalous disregard for the danger. And I think by meeting with Tilden, not in an overtly aggressive way, but in a determined way, to say, look, we all know the dangers here, and you guys haven't done anything to address that. So we need to do this now. We need you to do it. Our community needs you to do it. And we more or less are going to demand that they do it. And then maybe they'll say no. Then we have to go on to plan B. Maybe we have to sue Tilden Park. That's not outside the pale of reason. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying we have to go there, but we have to get serious. And that's obvious. It's really obvious. So many other communities have been dealing with it more aggressively than Kensington. And we have just as much reason to do the same. We have to address these things.
Thank you, Rick.
It's difficult being number four. You used up all of them. We know, or as board notes from our last meeting on the same subject, this is a big concern to me because I set up at the top of Tilden's Park. And so I have to stay on that subject. I'm sorry, I know there are other subjects I'd like to talk with. I'd like to find out a little bit more about how we would evacuate people. But I'm most concerned. I'd rather be proactive than reactive. I think we have not done enough proactive things to take control of stopping the fire in the first place. So that open and adding on to what has been said. As you know, starting 2 years ago, I assume it was East Bay Regional Park, introduced goats to help clean out vegetation. I'd kind of like to get your comments about goat activity, whether or not you think that solves the problem. I'm equally concerned about the fact that I notice in the area that is of interest to me, which is Ye Old School Trail, where the bridge is, that where it was cleaned out nicely below, the vegetation is coming back. And how are we going? I think I know the answer to this, but this doesn't seem like it's a one-time issue that we're going to have to deal with, but I'd just like to get your comments on that. And how we're going to deal with it long-term. The question is, how do we deal with it long-term?
I believe it's tough. You spoke last, right?
Yes, I did.
So then it's tough.
That's interesting that you mentioned that. One thing that I'm really impressed by is the citizens above the trail, the school trail we're talking about now, they have taken it upon themselves to clear out a lot of the dead brush up there, and it's really remarkable the job they've done. They've created a fire break where the trees are still there, the oak trees are there and various trees, but they cut out a lot of that dead brush that I'm talking about that is below the trail. And Ciara Woods, in fact, just recently did a big swath of clearing out below the trail and near her house. She hired a couple of guys to do it. And it's Tilden Park. It's in Tilden Park. And she just didn't tell the park. She just did it. And it's kind of remarkable.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not true. I'm sorry.
It's not true. Please.
That's Public comment will be later.
I thought Ciara was in charge of clearing that brush out down there. However, someone did it because it's gone. And it was really, really overgrown. And it's an exact example of what the park should be doing. It's not that difficult. This was done by two guys, and they cleared out a big area in, you know, I don't know, a week or something. And the upper part was done by, as I said, local people just did it, and they hauled it away, and it's gone. And it creates some kind of a fire break. It may not solve all our problems. I mean, if there's a catastrophic event in the park, and it's Diablo winds and the eucalyptus groves, of which there are like tens of thousands, if they erupt, you know, we don't have much of a chance at all. But if we have a smaller fire and it's driven by the wind and it's coming up the hill, we can address that. And that's doable. I mean, the goats are a good thing, but they're mainly eating weeds and things, and it's a good thing. And I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad Tilden is finally doing that. But we need every method we can get to really create some kind of a fire break.
Great. Great.
Jim, your question's really about how effective
how we can do this long term, yeah.
The goats seem to me to be good for defensible turf, and you have to bring them back periodically. So they're defensible space along the trail. And that's good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go very far. You know, they finally brought them to the north side of the school and gave us some respite. One can actually maintain that a little bit on your own if you're willing to wade into the close note now. But it's not that much defensible turf. And I think the concern, especially down by the school, is they did hardly anything. And the real flammable brushland that's down in the steeper slope is untouched. And that's the part for the school, particularly the contour of the hills a little bit different of us, but that's the part for the school in particular that I think would have to go in. People would have to go into that. And I don't think just goats can do that. So I think the goats did kind of an amazing job along the school trail. I was kind of shocked. I don't know that others would have to say if the erosion damage was worth it, because it did look pretty significant to me along the along the back trail unit. So that, from my perspective, was okay in creating better defensible turf. But the real mitigation, I think I would like to see the park engagement is farther down. And I don't think goats do that. And I don't know if anybody's even really looked and done a proper assessment of where you would get the best bang for the buck coming up the hillside. I will say that wind tunnel effect of the fire wind that's at the school makes me want to go directly down in what's now a drainage soil, but what used to be a trail down to the main parkland. And I would love to do that. I hiked it maybe 10 or 15 years ago just to see what it was like. That's a place that could be cleaned out for sure. And that's a bigger effort.
Right. We have closing statements now. Yes. And does that also, I guess that also
you're proper... established. Oh,
okay, sure. Great. So Rick first. Thank you.
Okay. So you guys have heard me talk a little bit about the school. I feel I'm a longtime Kensingtonian. I went to Kensington Mulhouse School as a kid. I hiked that trail down to what was then a relatively new nature center. And live next door to it now. I guess that makes me a hometown boy. I think it allows one to focus on things that would concern the entire community, because the school with an enormous number of kids represent the problem that we have to deal with. On behalf of the community, we have to build whatever bridge it takes to find the solution that allows fire risk to be mitigated, and in the event of a fire that wasn't mitigated sufficiently, the school to be evacuated, and to think about this in a really coherent way on behalf of the community. We're in a community that, you know, our zip codes have one of, it used to be the highest number of people with advanced degrees. We have lack no storage of brains. We have people out volunteering to do all kinds of things. This building was built with all volunteer labor. We actually can marshal the community if we build the bridges across what has been a horrific divide in the community between the boards and between cultures of people that fight when they have a lot of things in common. And so from my perspective, being on the board is about all of those things. And I focus on the school really because it highlights the urgency and almost the privilege of the mission that we have, which is to do something meaningful sooner rather than later, let's just say. And I think I could help with that.
Yeah, I think Rick makes a really good point about the school. I hadn't really thought of the school as the focal point, although it is on the school trail, of course, and it is impacted by all of that brush and so forth. And I think that approaching the park as a board, as I said before, with the fire department present in a room like this with a map that shows that slope and the school, we could argue that the school is in danger if there's a fire. And there's, you know, 100 kids or 200 kids in that school. We want you to do something about it. And if they don't, we could literally contact one of the news agencies like KPIX or Cron 4 or whatever, and have them come out and address that and shame them into doing it. This actually happened on Grizzly Peak during COVID. All these kids were coming up because the bars were closed. They were coming up to Grizzly Peak and they were making bonfires in the middle of the summer on Grizzly Peak and having rock concerts, you know, for fun. I mean, they weren't thinking about the wildfire, but they were literally making bonfires. It was on Nextdoor. Many of you may have seen this. There were videos of people standing in front of an 8-foot-tall bonfire in August, September, during COVID. And I found out about it, and a whole bunch of people were commenting. There was a huge thread on Nextdoor. I found out about it. I called Tilden Park. It's not our jurisdiction. Call Berkeley. I call Berkeley, UC Berkeley police. It's not our jurisdiction. Call the Berkeley police. I call the Berkeley police. It's not our jurisdiction. I call the Kensington. They're not our jurisdiction. Finally, somebody called Cron 4 and got them out there to show what was going on and how nobody responded to it. And Oakland police finally responded to it and closed off. That's why you see those big logs in front of the pullouts there, so nobody can park there anymore and have these parties. They have to be shamed into doing it. And that's something we could do using the school as leverage to get the park to do something. So that's my closing thing.
All right. Now that the candidates have had a chance to speak and the board has had a chance to ask them questions, now is our time to move to public comment.
Yes, public comment.
So let's move to public comment. I said before I was going to start with the Zoom, so I will start with the Zoom, but we will get to the room. There are several fans. Let's start with Dave Spath. Now it's switching orders on me. Start, Dave.
You want me to start?
Yes, go for it.
Okay. Let me just preface my remarks by saying that I'm speaking as a resident and not a board member of the police district. I am speaking on behalf of Rick Artis. I think if you look at his application, his background, both in understanding the finances of the fire district, very comprehensive and important. Obviously, from the discussion you've heard, his knowledge about wildfire risk is rather comprehensive as well. And I think some of the comments he's made are, address the issues that you're concerned about. And he also has quite a bit of knowledge with regard to the consolidation issues that will be coming up potentially in the future. And I worked with Rick on the ad hoc committee that the police district put together in 2016. I found him to be an excellent colleague and member of the committee. He worked diligently with everyone else in producing an excellent document. And I think that he would be an excellent board member for you to select today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please lower your hand and mute yourself. Next up is Rob.
Ion, do you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I'm speaking as an individual, not for the KPOA. Your board members do know I'm the president of the KPOA, but this is not a statement from that organization. I'm speaking in support of the appointment of Rick Artis to the Kensington Fire Board. Rick is a smart, knowledgeable, thoroughly professional contributor to the betterment of Kensington and has been active in that for years. I'm fortunate to have observed Rick Artis's extensive work on the Kensington Ad Hoc Committee that Dave Spath just mentioned when it was presented and for a number of times and years since. It is top notch. And I'm also fortunate to have worked with him on the KPOA Board of Directors, including on wildfire safety. Now, while fire prevention, mitigation, and evacuation are obviously critical, without any question, there are other issues that are also critical, calling for certain types of qualification. I think both these candidates have presented well, but I think that Rick Artis has the breadth of training and experience to address all of the issues, not just fire safety, however important that is. Finally, and importantly, he communicates his thinking clearly and calmly. Calmness would be another excellent addition to the board. He is an excellent team member, and I can say that from experience. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Next up is Katya D.
Yes, hi. I'm disturbed about hearing all this talk of just getting rid of all the brush so we can feel safer and have this vast, you know, big area of buffer. And I think we're forgetting, first of all, how precious the northeast facing slope of Wildcat Canyon is as one of the few natural native ecosystems left in the area. Almost everything else is either houses or disturbed land. I mean, even the south facing other slope of Wildcat Canyon is former farm and ranch land that is, you know, slowly growing back. And this is home to animals and plants and insects and a lot of complexity. So I think we have to take that into account as well and not just talk about, you know, cutting down all the brush like we're just conquering the whole earth and just cutting it all down for our convenience. And I also wanted to say, I don't know, Tom, but I've had the pleasure of talking and working a little bit with Rick and really appreciated the intelligence with which he brings to the table about various problems and the thoughtfulness and the science. We haven't always agreed, but I'd be certainly happy if he joined the board. And I'll talk more later about, let's also think that this foliage is also home to a lot of creatures, the deer and the coyotes and the rabbits and the all these creatures. And there's not much left for them to run to. There's not many places left for them to go. Pass.
Was that the end of your comment?
Yes, that pass and yes.
Okay. Understood. Thank you. Thank you, Katya. Please lower your hand. Sylvia Ellsbury.
Hi. I guess I should start by saying I'm not speaking for KCC, but just for myself. Another president on the line, yes. Okay, so my comments are actually based not only on your discussion tonight, but also on the written applications which were submitted and which I've been studying. And my comment, my overarching comment, is that you have two candidates who agree on a number of priorities, but only one who most closely mirrors the mood and priorities of this community, in my opinion. Both say that the wildland interface is a huge threat. Rick Artis calls for an updated study of the situation. Tom Cuniff, is that correct, says the situation is bad and let's get to work on it. With EBRPD and with property owners all over town, let's get serious right now about risk reduction like Berkeley has already done. And by the way, I think if data are needed for grant applications and so forth, I believe Chief Sailors can provide a lot of that data on fuel load and such already without further study. Another point of agreement is about the importance of the ridgeline study. And Tom leaves it at that. While Rick devotes a huge part of his application to the consolidation push, he says there's overwhelming community support for it. That may be true, but it doesn't track with what I hear from people in town who are mostly quite ignorant of all things consolidation. A third point of agreement between the candidates is about budget projections looking somewhat iffy as costs are rising faster than the revenue stream. Okay, now for the divergence. As far as I can tell, one place that you diverge is in top priorities, your two candidates, I mean. On his application, Rick makes a priority of greater transparency, and he seems to suggest that the fire department may not be reporting their response times accurately. Tom's priorities are all about fuel load reduction, public awareness, code enforcement, and this is something I hear talked about all the time, whereas I have never heard about the transparency need before. Doesn't mean it's not real. I've just never heard about it, and I follow the district pretty closely. So overall, I believe that Tom's priorities more closely align with those of myself, my neighbors, and Kensington in general, and I recommend he be appointed to the open seat. Thank you for taking my comment.
All right, thank you very much. Are there any other comments on, oh, and please lower your hand. Are there any other comments on the Zoom? Seeing none, let's move to the room and we'll get Candace's at some point. Yes, public comment in the room. Go for it.
My apologies, first off. Okay. Regarding East Bay Regional Park.
Yeah.
We do work with them. They are aware of what we are doing.
Okay.
Regarding the slope behind my house.
Right.
Much of the initial clearing was from the goats. Subsequently, we hired people to take out what the goats could not do.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry.
But no, the point is East Bay Regional Park is aware of our project work along there. Every year we submit a plan to them.
Right.
I present myself to you guys as a resource, having been working on this for more than 30 years, actively,
yeah.
I'm a resource for you. For this board. And part of the problem with East Bay Regional Park is they do not imagine the problems on our slope.
Yes.
Having been told this for many years and told that they see the hundreds of thousands of acres that they have, they don't see what we see on the ground.
Right.
The other thing about that, about 10 years ago, they created a major study on hazard mitigation. it does not do all the kinds of things that we as a community are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
As far as clearing downslope from the trail all the way along, you'll get a fierce reaction from them. But I am willing to do anything I can to assist you guys in this.
Well, we've already gotten a fierce reaction from them.
So, sorry, don't.
She
insisted to the agenda. Are we talking about candidates? Well, we're talking about the candidate.
Well, and because of this, Tom, I have seen you out on the trail. We've talked about these things on the trail.
Yeah.
And I would support you and recommend you to the board. I think we have to move on these things.
Thank you. Okay. Is there a comment? Okay. Thank you.
People say name with me.
Is it, they have to?
Oh, I don't think they have to.
I don't think so. I was only saying people's names because they self-identify by that name on the Zoom. What's in the room?
Lisa from World. Can this okay if I stand on the world? Can you hear me?
I think so.
I met Rick Artis as part of the ad hoc committee. I was incredibly impressed with how much time and thought and effort he put into the teams that he was on as part of that effort. And this is while he was also working full time, as he's always done. He's always overworked full time. But he showed up, he did the work, he brought ideas, he brought people together, he was a team player. It was really just a joy to work with him. I think the words that come to mind when I think of Rick is data driven. I mean, this is a guy who's a scientist. He looks at a variety of different issues, not just one, not just the ridgeline, but a multitude of issues at the same time. And he really brings not only the questions about what data is needed, but delves into how to get that data to be able to, you know, clearly map out what that data is telling the board. So I think in that regard, he would be a tremendous asset, because it's not just the ridgeline that you're dealing with, as other commenters have said. It's also the issues of finance, long-term finance, the issues around potential, you know, the pros and cons of consolidation, to look at both sides of that coin. And I think he would be an asset and a leader in that regard as well. So I strongly recommend regardless.
Thank you very much. Any other comment in the room? Seeing none, Candace, would you like to read the public comments that were submitted? Candace, do we still have you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I was trying to call in on my phone, but I will go ahead and read public comments, although I just saw someone online with a hand up. Would you like to take that one first, or?
If they submitted a public comment on email, but they're on the call, they're supposed to just give their comment themselves.
There is one person with that case. So I was also going to confirm that.
Okay. Let's hear from the Zoom attendee, Len Walsh, and then we'll read whatever other comments.
Hi, yeah. Folks. I'm sorry to come in late. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I just want to say I have worked with Rick for a very long time, and I think both of these candidates would be an asset to the board. Don't get me wrong. And I do hope whoever is chosen, both will continue to work for the board and for the community. I just have to say that Rick has put so much time and effort into analyzing the needs of the community, and in particular, the finances, which have continued to evade a lot of folks in terms of understanding where we're going and, you know, where the appropriate expenditures should occur and where we're headed in the future if we don't manage our finances correctly. Fire board and the police board can't do anything right if they don't get the finances right. And we desperately need the kind of expertise Rick brings to that issue. All of it depends on finances and how we use them. In my experience, Rick is a guy who does his homework. What he promises, he delivers. He's a known commodity. And, you know, the other candidate could well do the same thing, but the track record is really important, and we have that in Rick. And I would just hate to see him not get an opportunity to actually be an official on the fire board and deliver his wonderful expertise in advance of the community. That's all I have to say. And sorry to be late.
No problem, Len. Thank you very much for your comment. Let's switch back to Candace for a public comment reading.
Yes, there is one member of the public who is attending the meeting who also submitted a comment. I don't know if Paul Durow would like to read his own comment. I'm also happy to read it.
Well, I think the agenda says if they're on the call, they have to read it themselves.
Sure.
We put that in our agendas. I hope it made it to this one.
I see that you've just unmuted me. Daniel?
Yes, thank you.
Paul Durow, for some reason, I was unable to use the raise my hand feature. Been trying to do that for a while, but be that as it may, I just wanted to weigh in and reiterate what I wrote in support of Rick Artis. I've known him and worked with him on a number of community issues for more years than I care to count. And I'll echo what has been said by others. He's a guy who knows what he's doing. He knows what he's about. He's extremely analytical and thorough and thoughtful in his approach to the kinds of problems that the fire board has to deal with. And there are more than just the focus, which is very real and very present, on the ridgeline and the danger from there, but long-term dangers from the apparent fiscal imbalance that's emerging and will continue to be a concern for years ahead. I'm glad to see that Mr. Cunniff has come forward, and I hope he'll continue to be involved. But based on history, track record, and past performance, I strongly recommend that you appoint Rick Artis to the board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Candace, would you like to read the remaining public comments that have been submitted?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. The first public comment is from Anne Forrest. To the directors of the Kensington Fire Protection District Board, I have known Rick Artis since we were students in elementary school. I have never known anyone smarter or more persistent in researching and analyzing the facts on any subject he is confronted with. Rick's intellectual persistence was readily apparent when he presented to the public his detailed financial analysis of the KPPCSD and KFPD while he was on the ad hoc committee, which had been asked to review the operational structure of Kensington's government. Any committee or board would benefit from his analytical skills and thorough explanations. Having lived in this area most of his life, Rick understands the needs and the challenges facing Kensington. He has been an active board member on the KPOA for many years and is well-versed in the legal and structural issues that face Kensington. I encourage you to appoint Rick Artis to the Kensington Fire Protection Board. And that completes the first comment. And the second comment is from Candace Capogrossi. They say, I would like to express my strong support for Rick Artis. We serve on the KPOA together. He has been an asset to our board in many ways. his knowledge of the community, his financial understanding of the budget, and his ability to participate in discussions where there is disagreement and ask excellent questions, guiding the group to reach consensus. He is a man of great intellect. He brings a spirit of congeniality to our monthly meetings. He is concerned about fire safety and lives in an area where the issue is of vital importance. The community is fortunate to have a candidate with the skills and integrity that Rick Artis would bring to the fire board. And that completes the comments that were submitted online.
Right. With that, I'm going to give one last chance for public comment online or in the room. Going once, going twice, and we are now closed for public comment. Directors, it is now our time to chat with each other. Who would like to go first?
This meeting supposed to end at 7.
Is there an agenda?
It's 7:08.
Well, in that case, let's find out. Oh, the agenda is German time. Okay. Would we like to make a motion to continue this meeting to
7:30? We could just take our first vote if you want, with our little balance.
Well,
what were you going to say, though, Jim?
It's already 7. So we have to make a motion to extend the meeting in any case. I would like to make a motion to extend the meeting to 7:30 p.m.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Okay. Motion carries. The meeting is continued to 7:30. Not continued. We'll continue to 7:30. What was your question?
Well, you're asking people to comment.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll start right on here.
Okay, go for it.
Start by saying I think we have two excellent candidates. These are people that are well-versed in the issues that confront us. I'm very pleased that both of you agreed to run for this position. Nevertheless, as you well know, this is a position that now will expire in 9 months. It's a short-term situation. Not that that makes a great deal of difference. Perhaps that same person will be running for election come the end of the year. But as I have spoken in the past, I am extremely concerned about the fact that this fire board for the last 3 to 4 years has not changed, has not made any, come up with any suggestions on how it is that we're going to handle the fire risk coming out of Kensington Park and at East Bay Regional Park. And I think that, I think it's time that we address this. As has been pointed out this evening, we have talked about it, but we haven't really asserted ourselves. And I think it's time to do that. Basically, I think we have two candidates here. One, an academic, extremely well knowledgeable on a lot of facets of our fire board and our police board and our community. And the other person who is more of a pragmatist. I think, and again, to continue to repeat myself here, but I am tired of the 3 to 4 years that we have been talking as part of our emergency preparedness committee that we should be doing something. And we haven't accomplished anything, gotten anything changed. It's time that we take really some serious action. And for that reason, I would like to recommend that we consider appointing Bob Cunha for the remaining 9 months on this position.
Tom. You said Bob.
Yes.
Yeah. Tom.
Right. Does anyone else like to make any comments?
I'll let you guys go first.
I mean, you also don't have to go if you want. I can.
Yeah, can you go?
Sure. I echo Jim's comments. We have two excellent candidates who clearly care passionately about the risks and dangers that we in Kensington face. And sort of, I guess, as one public commenter noted, as you noted yourselves, you agree on a lot of points. So to some extent, what we have here maybe is a difference in style, a difference in approach. To me, especially in my time on the board, it's really clear that one needs to build a lot of consensus to get things moving. Government does move slowly. There are a lot of stakeholders out there. The decades of work that Sierra Wood has invested in building relationships with East Bay Regional Park have paid great dividends to Kensington in terms of right of entry and things of that sort, and of course, direct actions. And my understanding from her is that that was the result of a long period of collaborative effort, bringing people along to see that it is in their interest also to assist us, because we don't have a lot of political clout. We don't have a lot of fiscal largesse to throw about. We're a small community, but we have needs, and other people out there have the means to help us. But I don't think shaking our fists and demanding that they accede to our immediate needs is going to prove fruitful. I think we need a more collaborative approach. And so despite the fact that I think you both really care very passionately, and I could see merits in both approaches, I personally think that the approach espoused by Rick Artis would be more effective at getting East Bay Regional Park to actually help come along. That's just my perspective.
Could you clarify what approach that was?
Which was to build bridges and establish a collaborative rapport, focus on the shared bits that were goals in common, and how we can move forward together to achieve those goals.
Thanks for
it. Yeah, no problem. You also don't have to make a comment if you. I don't want to pressure you.
I have two sides of the coin that I could speak about, and I'll stick with one side for now.
Okay.
I thought that Tom's approach is incredibly realistic. And especially for a limited appointment, and I'm looking for it in my notes, but what you wrote down, I wrote it down, and what you said is, I think, incredibly important when it came to the most important skills. The question was most important skills to work with the board. You said team player. You said get stuff done. That we have skin in the game here. And that we identify what we have to lose. And what I thought was most important about what you said is pick one thing and get it done. And that is one thing that I think Kensington has not done in ages. Pick one thing, one demonstration project, get it done. And I've spent quite a bit of time with our new fire chief, and I think he'd be up for that. I've walked through the park with him. He's got some really great ideas. I'm talking about this thing that this side of the ground, and it chews up dead brush. Uh-huh. And the fire department did write a grant to get one for El Cerrito. They were unsuccessful, but he's not going to stop trying. So he's also a get things done kind of guy. And I think that he would be responsive to this idea of a pilot project to do one thing and show that we can do it. And I think it would really help our residents also feel, you know, some degree of confidence. You know, regarding Measure X, Rich, Rick, you said one thing that resonated with me when I asked about what do our near neighbors do who have the same wildfire conditions. And you mentioned that we don't have as much cash as other districts. Our supervisor, John Joya, will tell you what he's told me and many other people. We are the richest fire district in the county and pretty much not high on his list for giving grants. He's got some really, really impoverished fire districts that really need his help. And if you read the LAFCO reports, they will tell you that we spend the highest per capita in the entire county on fire and police. So I think the importance, you know, maybe they give us a Measure X grant, but I think we're perceived as writing a lot of journal papers. David Spath, when he called in just now, talked about the ad hoc committee, and he described their outcome as having produced a document. And indeed, they did produce a document. I brought part of it here. It's got many charts, many graphs. From 2016, has it made us any safer? Has it abated fire? I don't think the ad hoc committee document has made us any safer, which is why I'm really encouraged by what you have to say and your energy. Regarding throwing more analysis at finance, the fire district is actually in really great shape with our financial analysis. Through Jim's help, we brought Bill Zanoni on board. He's worked with Kensington for years. He did a five-year projection in a flexible way. It's a five-year projection that's not going to sit on a shelf. It's easy to update as conditions change. We have a great relationship with our fire chief who's helping us keep it up to date. He's very in tune with the budget. So particularly for a nine-month appointment, I don't think we need to throw more analysis at our finances. I think we have, whether our finances are in as good a shape as we want, that's a budget discussion. But the analysis is there, and it's a priority setting discussion. Rick, I would love to see you throw your financial and analytical abilities at the KPCNC. I wish you would have applied for their board. They have no finance committee still. They have no emergency preparedness.
Stay focused on our board?
No, I'm focusing on our candidate.
For this board?
I'm focusing, okay, I'll leave it at that. I think that was enough said, that they could really use his help. So I think the things that the underpinnings of our district are very strong. And what I like is the let's get out there and do it. Let's create a project and show people that we can do it.
Okay, go ahead.
I answered the question about the fire hazard and how would you actually approach when you're on the board, what can you do? Because it's been 4 years and this board hasn't done, I haven't seen a lot of interaction with other East Bay Regional as a board, there hasn't been a lot done as a board for reaching out to different entities that I know of. I'm fresh. So that was something that I know I personally was looking for, like a step forward. A lot of your ideas were great, and they also dovetailed with stuff that the EPC is actually already doing, and even the school is doing as well. Some of those goats were for school district goats as well as East Bay Regional goats. So thank goodness for goats. But there's a lot that our community has already started, like our Firewise community. So that's moving towards. There are so many more we're a community where there are many ways to attack the fire hazard, and you can do, and there we are a community that doesn't just have a fire hazard, we have an earthquake hazard that is just as important. It just ran a hazard model, and we've lost millions in building damage from a Hayward event. And it's not insignificant. And so while we may be sitting pretty well, there's so much more to be done. And having a really broad perspective on what Kensington is faces and what we're capable of, not only as two special districts, but even potentially how to strengthen the relationship between both, is really important. And I think it's part of a multi-pronged approach for all these multi-hazards and issues. So I definitely feel like, let's do it now. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. I felt that too. That's what I felt the best by working by volunteering time on Wildcat Watch, which sounds like that too. You were here and too. Because NCORT was setting up and doing things, making his area very active in terms of hazard watch and mitigation. I remember you doing engaging during the campfires and talking about particulate in the air and informing the community about, you know, particular hazard, you know, air quality. That was a community, important community issue that you stepped in and helped right away. And it sounds like you are also active in other community organizations too, which is huge, because you need to be able to move between different community organizations in order to represent them the best. I agree. I am of the opinion that my impression is, having talked to people, that consolidation or reorganization is deserves a full investigation. Like I said in my application, you said that in yours. I feel like you have a lot of depth there that you could bring to the board. I know we have a lot of financial depth, but the reorganization depth, I think is important to me. I need to learn too. So I think I would appreciate that. So I think while you both have priorities and feelings close to the heart, for me, I think I would be happy to have you join the board.
All right, we have 4 minutes left before our things conclude. Let's do a first round of balloting and see where that gets us. I have a suspicion I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Stein is Tom. Me is Rick. And Director Madugo is Rick.
All right. We have 3 minutes left. Will we like to have more discussion? Do we think that would be productive? Or do we just want to do a second round of balloting and then remand the issue to the Board of Supervisors again? I guess we did.
We can't do that tonight. It's not on the agenda.
Well, it happens automatically, so we don't actually
have. We have until March 30th to keep talking about this.
I suppose that's true.
Because the other option is to call for a special election, and we have the option to do that. And neither of those options, asking the supervisors to handle it or calling for a special election, neither option is on the agenda tonight.
That's true. Would we like to do a second round of balloting, or would we like to have more discussion?
second round of balloting now?
Yes.
Or how would that change?
It wouldn't, but it was a procedure that we thought would possibly break ties if people were on the fence.
Doesn't look that way.
Doesn't look that way. So let's proceed, do our procedure. We've got 2 minutes. Let's do another round of balloting since no one said they wanted to do any comments.
I mean, do we really have to do this?
Well,
it seems kind of silly.
It was the board. The board voted to do it, okay. So we're doing it.
We don't do it.
When the board votes, we do it.
Putting the other ballots over here. Okay.
But we're, what time is
it? 7:28.
Okay.
Mr. Levine has Rick. Stein has Tom. Director Watt has Tom, which is tied.
I move that we. I move to nominate Rick Ardis to the vacant position on the Kensington Fire Protection Board of Directors position.
A second.
Public comment. Board dirt comment. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Mm.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Nay. Fails 2-2. Are there any other motions? All right, it is now 7:30, and we shall adjourn.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time, yes.